Welcome to Babbling Books, a podcast about books and the authors behind them. I'm your host, Lily. Follow me on Twitter at Babbling Lily. Lily is spelled L-I-L-Y, just like the flower. And subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it to stay up to date on new episodes as they come out, which is every other Monday. Today's interview was hosted by my school book fair. My book fair is put together entirely by my school librarian. She handpicks every book and orders them through a local bookstore called the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Today, I'll be interviewing Andrew Moore. Andrew's a photographer, which is a change for this podcast's regular cast of novelists. Andrew has taken pictures all over the world and has quite a few photography books, such as Cuba, Detroit Disassembled, and his newest, Dirt Meridian. Andrew is on Facebook and Instagram as Andrew Lambden Moore. He also has a beautiful website, which is andrewlmoore.com. So without further ado, Andrew Moore. So I was wondering, you said that you traveled to a lot of places. Like, I saw pictures of everywhere from, like, Kentucky to Russia to all over the world. So do you have any favorite places that you traveled that you really loved? The people there, you made a lot of connections there, you loved how the places that you saw. Like, where would you prefer to travel again?
Well, one of my all-time favorite places to travel was Cuba, where I first went in 1998, and I think I made about a dozen trips subsequent to that. That was a very magical place at that time. It still is magical, but at that particular moment, there was something about the people I met and the way the city looked in particular that was like no other place in the world.
Havana?
Really one of the magical cities in the world. So that would be one of my top places. But every place I end up spending time, it's because there's something about that place and that time and those people that I'm deeply drawn to. I can't photograph things that I'm not interested in or don't like.
So how did you decide to put all these photographs together into one book? Or, you know, if you went to Cuba, how did you decide to take these certain photographs and put them in the book?
So for a photographer, making a book is quite natural. You know, you start off, you're making pictures. Often in my case, I'm looking for the best pictures to be in an exhibition, but there are many other pictures that I take that I don't necessarily want to blow up and make big on the wall, but that I think will work well within the sequence and flow of imagery in a book. And therefore, where the main course is sort of like these exhibitions, the book is a great complement to that because even though the pictures aren't at the same scale, there's a greater variety and you get a kind of wider texture that the book reveals.
So what specifically inspires your photography? Do you just see something and go, oh, I'll photograph that today? Or do you look, you do search out subjects to photograph?
Well, I'm definitely looking. I mean, I'm an older photographer now. I think when I first started out, yeah, I just whatever came my way, I took a picture of that interested me. Now I think I'm much more focused. I'm more disciplined and more selective, for better or worse, about choosing subject matter and then really spending a lot of time with it and going deeply into it. So I think when you're a young photographer, you just photograph whatever you like, and then as you get older, you get a bit more picky but more focused, also more disciplined.
So what photography art, and you're talking about Salvador Dali, or Jackson Pollock, like what inspires you when you see things or when you're taking photos? What do you read or see that makes you go, oh, I want to go out and take pictures now because I've seen this?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the processes of being an art student is you look at a lot of work. You look at painting, sculpture, architecture. You might look at dance, music, and you're sort of building a creative vocabulary. You have all these things in your head that are kind of like reference points. And so later on when you're out working, you know, something might bubble up and you're like, oh, that looks like a Cy Twombly drawing or something. And so you have these touchstones along the way. So I have a really big vocabulary of kind of visual symbols in my head. And so I wouldn't say I don't pick the symbol and then go out and make the picture. It's more like I have all these things in my head. I see something and that recalls something for me. And that touches and that becomes part of my vocabulary.
Awesome. So how do you think, you were talking a lot about Cuba and we saw a lot of pictures earlier when you were showing some pictures to us and talking about the stories behind them. So how do you think that your photos represent the culture that they're taken in?
I think my pictures represent a culture at a particular moment in transition. That's really, I'm interested in cultures in transition. I mean, things that are, you know, I went to Norway and I couldn't make pictures in Norway because there's nothing, Norway's not in transition. Norway's kind of done. All the roads are done. Everything's perfect. The towns, I mean, there are, you know, obviously they renovate buildings, but basically there's no tension. There's no frisson. There's no grit in a sense. It's done. Whereas places, even a place like Abu Dhabi, which is kind of rising out of the desert, or, you know, Bolivia, where they're building aerial cable car transportation. You know, I need the process of change. I need the process of transition. So that's really what I'm recording things as some things are going away and some new things are coming. And that's that process of becoming something else is what interests me.
So you shot a lot of photos before. Could you talk a little bit about some of the photos? Maybe you're, I don't know if it's fair to ask you to pick your favorite photo, but some of the photos that you love, the stories behind, like the Run Room Schoolhouse you were talking about.
Yeah, it's interesting how some of the most, my most popular images also have very interesting stories. There is the One Room Schoolhouse. I showed some of those theaters. There was a theater in Russia, a theater in Cuba. There's also one in Gary, Indiana that's very popular. The one of Henry Ford's office is also very popular because the story is kind of so amazing, how it's like this abandoned decaying room that was Henry Ford's office, but it's also be kind of this weird toxic post-industrial landscape at the same time. So these multi-layers. So I would say the schoolhouse one is one of my favorite. Also Henry and the Model T room is also one of my favorites.
So as you may know, I do interview a lot of authors, but never really artists or photographers. So how do you think your work in photography, which is visual, compares to work in like writing or something, which is, you know, you pick up a book and you read it. How do you think that the words differ from the pictures?
I think my attitude has changed about that. I think when I was first starting out, I thought that a photograph had to be completely, I still think that a photograph should have the visual integrity to stand on its own. And I still believe that. I don't think that boring photograph with a lot of writing around it makes it any better. But I have seen how people like stories and it's stories being told in different ways. So my sense is that my books are better now because I have pictures thematically connected, but also the writing is more deeply connected in terms of the captions and the stories and the essays. And so you're taking a subject, but you're seeing it from different perspectives. You're seeing it from a visual perspective, historical perspective, literary perspective, a kind of anthropological perspective. And so I don't really see, I think that words and pictures can work very well together, especially photographs and words. And that's my goal for the future, is to even more closely integrate those two.
So what made you think, two more minutes, what do you think made you decide to become a photographer?
I grew up in a very visual family. My mom edited art books and my father was an architect. So I always loved architecture and I always liked buildings. And then when I was in college, and then we also had a darkroom when I was a kid too, so I was taking pictures. And then when I was in college, I decided not to become an architect. I decided it was better to travel, make pictures, and make pictures of architecture rather than sit in an office and try to get people to build my buildings. So so for me, photography combines perfectly my interests in art, architecture, painting, travel, and narrative image making.
Cool. Thank you. So this is Andrew Moore, who took pictures of things and put them in books.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew Moore. Are you looking for a photography book similar to Andrew's? He personally suggests Havana by Robert Polidori for its attention to architecture, China by Edward Burdansky for its exploration of the line between the city and the natural world, and House Hunting by Todd Heido for its solemn look at an America all the way back in 2001, haha, that could really be any America at any time. Again, you can find Andrew Moore on Instagram at Andrew Lambden Moore, on his website, Andrew L. Moore, or on Facebook. Say hello to me on Twitter at Babbling Lily, and subscribe to this podcast to get notified about new episodes every other Monday. Thanks for listening to Babbling Books. I'm glad you joined me.